But listen, this is Pastor Charlie Clark down at Solid Rock Baptist Church. I do bring greetings from Solid Rock Baptist Church, again, who have prayed about you. Several of the pastors get with me down there, and we have prayer together. They put a good emphasis on that. And so there are some pastors. We've got some new pastors, again, right up here from this area. And praise the Lord for that. But he described a little bit. He pulled the pastors all aside and described a little bit of his routine to us. And I recognize, again, that your pastor has a lot to be desired in my prayer life and my preaching and my attitude towards the pastorate. And praise the Lord again for you folks. I love every one of you and appreciate again that you call me pastor. And I recognize the weight that goes with that title and calling here even at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. So I want to preach for you here again just a little bit of what was preached down there. I'll not illustrate it nearly as well as Dr. David Gibbs does. How many of you have ever heard Dr. David Gibbs preach? Get online, just type in David Gibbs, and he's got messages, he's got YouTube messages, he's all over the place. He's the best illustrator that I've ever heard. I've heard him preach probably six times, and I've not ever forgotten the message that he's preached. I mean, he just nails things down. And so I will not be able to do that today, but I do want to cover again some things that he preached there out of Philippians chapter 4, because it is so pertinent to our lives. In the America that we're headed into, and in the year that you're headed into, and the life that we're currently living in. And so I want to preach his message here out of Philippians chapter 4 with this title, Do Four of God's Commands and Never Worry Again. Doing four of God's commands causing you to never worry again. Now, I praise the Lord. I don't know too many of us that have an ongoing problem with worry because we've already learned a lot of these lessons. But I just wanted to rehearse them again because sometimes we can get into worry mode again. And so let's go ahead and look at his outline here again of four. Actually, it's God's outline, so I'm not stealing it from Brother Gibbs. I'm taking it from the Apostle Paul. Here in Philippians chapter 4. And so let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. And I'm going to give you four commands. If you follow them, you'll never worry again. Praise the Lord. Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the books of life. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Father, praise you for your word. We thank you again for a recipe that's given here. As we consider it, I pray again that you'd help each one that's here to bolster some things up in our lives as far as keeping your commands. Search our heart. Cause again, even because of this message, Father, that we'd be better equipped to walk through this week. But yea, also to walk through this life, we'll give you praise. In the name of Christ we pray it. Amen. You may be seated. Four commands that you could keep and never worry again. I want you to think for a minute. What is worry? Well, first I want to go ahead and give you a test. When's the last time you worried? Okay. Are you what they call a worry wart? Do things bother you and worry? Are you worried about uncertainty? And listen, that's what causes worry. A good definition of worry is uncertainty. It's a parallel. It's the same thing, that we are uncertain about what's going to happen. We are uncertain about how the test results are going to come back. We're uncertain about what those test results will do to us. as health-wise. We are uncertain in our finances and uncertain about, again, how things are going, the decisions we make, the directions we take, the jobs that we have. We have an uncertainty, and that causes us to worry. We are uncertain for the health of others. And each of these uncertainties, again, notice again that they have, when they hit us, it causes us to worry. But when they hit a spouse, I think it causes us to worry more. Okay, when it hits our children, it causes us to worry. When it hits our loved ones, again, we have a worry that overtakes us, and worry again about health, worry again about finances. Sometimes we can get worried about decisions. We're making a decision, we don't know which way to go, and lots of times there can be just a lot of worry in our lives, and a lot of consternation, a lot of struggling goes on with worry. Well, God doesn't want us to worry. And God wants, again, that we could live our lives with no uncertainty. And so let's consider for a moment what it would take to have a victory over worry in our situations and our plight in our lives. And we covered the first command in our reading there. Verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord," quite a bit. On occasion. No, it says rejoice in the Lord always. There's things that happen in our lives, and we have, it's a trial, it's a circumstance, it's a situation, and you don't rejoice over it, nor do I. We fret over it, we get upset over it, but God says here that we're to rejoice in the Lord always. Is there anything that we should not rejoice in? Any car wrecks, flat tires, situations? Rejoice in the Lord always. That's a big command. And we don't normally catch all of that. Dr. Lee Robinson, who had his footprint here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, again, the pastor out of Tennessee Temple, was a founder here. And so Dr. Lee Robinson often asked people, "I trust I find you rejoicing." Isn't that a curious greeting? Do you ever see somebody you haven't seen for a while and say, "How are you doing?" He would say, "How are you rejoicing? How is your rejoicing?" And so, again, it should be that common in our thoughts and in our thinking that in everything, we are to be rejoicing. I can't give you many of the illustrations from Dr. Gibbs down there, but let me go ahead and give you at least this one. He was a lawyer for Lester Roloff, and I don't know how familiar you are with Lester Roloff. We've had folks through here that testified of him and knew of him. But he was one, again, that would have a worship service, and he would just start singing, and they would sing for an hour, and sometimes sing so much they didn't preach. They just the Lord had His way, and so he was a tremendous walking vessel of God's Holy Spirit, a tremendous ministry. And you know, he had the girls' home in Corpus Christi, and he got in all kinds of legal issues and trouble for that. They threw him in jail because of his girls' home in Corpus Christi, not following, again, the laws of Texas, and so they threw him in jail. Called his lawyer, and Dr. David Gibbs came down to the prison and met with him, and he asked him, "How you doing?" And Lester Roloff said this, "The Bible says I'm doing great." And so the next time you're thrown in jail, I want you to remember, the Bible says you're doing great. The next time you're in a situation and you can't explain what's going on, the Bible says that you are doing great. And so again, rejoicing again is an attitude that comes into our heart and into our life. God never commands you to do what He won't enable you to do. Let me say that again. God never commands you to do what He will not enable you to do. Look at this verse, verse 4. Is that or is that not a command? It's not a suggestion. It's not a new way of life. It is a command. Paul's given it here to the church at Philippi, and it applies equally to us. Rejoice in the Lord always. And if you didn't get it the first time, he repeats it. And again, I say, rejoice. Examine your rejoicing. After I preached this message, I examined my rejoicing as we drove all the way back. We turned a nice 5-hour drive into what? An 8-hour drive driving back from Philadelphia. You sometimes do that in bumper-to-bumper traffic again. And boy, there's lots of opportunities to test how well your rejoicing is going when you're locked in bumper-to-bumper traffic on a highway or the guy in front of you does a U-turn. And so, again, we have opportunities. And so, even this week, examine your rejoicing. Stick some litmus paper in your rejoicing and test it and see how well we're doing. Watch the circumstances that show up Monday through Friday this week and say, how well? Well, we can include Sunday too. We got another half a day here to go. How well am I doing at rejoicing in everything, rejoicing always, no matter what our circumstance, rejoice. And remember, we're looking for a way that we could find a life that's completely absent of all worry. Command number 2, look at the next verse. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Notice it doesn't say to all men that ask of you. Notice it doesn't say to anyone again that would come up to you and ask, why is it that you? No, let your moderation be known unto all men. That doesn't leave anybody out. And this week, everyone that we pass is included in that all. Dr. David Gibbs has given this famous definition by now. All means all, and that's all means again. And so again, understand that we're to let our moderation be known unto all men. Now I want you to stop and think about that. What does that verse mean? What is our moderation? We had a moderator at the whole week that we went down there, Pastor Clark's son. Charlie Clark was the moderator. Charlie Clark III, again, was the moderator. What did he do? He controlled things again as far as being a moderator and what happens next and the sequence of everything that's happened. He's a moderator. How would you let your moderation be known to every man? Let your moderation be known unto all men. There's something in the 9 fruits of the Spirit that we don't talk about much and I don't like much. Again, it's called temperance. And temperance, another word for that has often been like self-control. It's bigger than that, but it's at least that. And so I think of that word every time I walk over to my refrigerator anymore. Somehow, again, I've still got 20 pounds to lose to get off my obese list here. Our moderation is related to our temperance, having a control of ourselves and being able to control. Let's back up and say, you're going to this week, you are going to rejoice. No matter what happens, you're going to rejoice. How are you going to do that? You're going to do that by consciously moderating your life, your attitude, your behavior. When a circumstance happens, again, you've got to walk mentally through the idea that I am supposed to rejoice in this. Listen, the process of doing that is your moderation. You're being in control. You're having a self-control. I used to have a problem with my temper. My wife might testify that I still do, but I used to have a problem with an overt problem with my temper. And again, I found out that God can get that under control if you give it to Him. Give you some verses to memorize, and immediately when you think you've got enough stuff stacked up in your life so you've got a justified cause to lose your temper, remember that is the opposite of temperance. If you're going to lose your temper, it's because you are going to go out of control. The opposite here of moderation. Of being in control and moderating your attitude, your activity, your little brain. In control of what's happening next in your life. What outburst is coming out of your mouth next. And what you're going to swing that hammer at next. And so again, notice again that here it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Two things in that is, number one, is that they should see your moderation. Should be something that's visible. And number two, you need to let them know why you have moderation. Let them know again that it is Christ in you. Reminded of the story of, I think it was Brother Boyd again, talking about walking through the store, and there was one of those little punching bags that has a little blow-up punching bags. And the little kid was there, and he was just punching it. And it would go down and pop back up. And he watched him for a while. And watched him kept punching that little thing and having it pop back up. Finally, he went over and asked the lad. He said, "So why is it that he keeps standing up like that after you've punched him so very hard?" And the little boy thought for a minute and he said this. He said, "I think when he falls down, on the inside, there's someone that's still standing up." And that's a profound philosophy. And that's what we are to have. When we go down, there should still be someone standing on the inside of us. And it should cause, again, that we will get back up again. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Look at that last phrase in that. The Lord is at hand. I'm reminded when I was a teenager, I was told again that you can get away with anything because your parents won't know. You can pull it off. And you can get, and your youth pastor will go. And when I went in the military, I said, "Wow, man, here I am now. I'm all far away from youth pastors. My pastor is gone. My dad and mom will never know what I do while I'm down here in Texas." Again, when I did that, it still came to my mind that, hey, the Lord will know. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is watching you. And it's good to be mindful of that very thing, that, hey, wherever we go in this world, we're taking the Lord with us. And the Lord is at hand means that He sees everything that we do. He hears everything that we say. Listen, it goes deeper than that. He hears and understands every thought that goes through your mind. The Lord is at hand. Keep in mind again that God observes us wherever we're at, wherever we're doing. Number two, the Lord is at hand because sometimes you're going to need some help. When that circumstance arises and you don't feel like rejoicing, remember this, the Lord is at hand. When a situation arises and you don't want to feel like you've got temperance, that things are under control and that you're going to keep them under control, remember this, the Lord is at hand. Certainly we can always call on the Lord. Again, it's good practice to get in that. I did that when I was losing my temper so much. I would stop and I would ask God's permission to lose my temper. He never granted me that permission, but I kept asking just the same. And it helped me, again, just to list out the things that was causing me to be in a place where I deserve the right to lose my temper. And I would just talk to the Lord about it out loud again and recognize again that the Lord is at hand. He will help you. His words in your heart will help you. But calling on Him and asking for His help in these four commands is certainly possible because the Lord is at hand. And then the third thing certainly that is meant in that is that, hey, the Lord's going to be here any day. The Lord is at hand means He's going to be here again before you know it. We are in the last of the last days. And again, we can comfort one another with these words that there's going to be a trumpet sound any day now. And so again, the Lord is at hand. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And you can do that when you have a consciousness that the Lord is at hand for a witness, for a helper, and for a soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then before we hit the last command here, look at this promise that's given in verse 6. Nope, verse 5. Nope, we did that. Verse 7, there we are. Philippians 4, verse 7. So we got the two commands done. Three commands done. Rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. And then it says in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. This is the third command. I was on four there. The third command is that by be careful for nothing. You know that word careful has a lot of roots to it. And again, it means that your care, you have great care for, about your well-being, about your safety. Careful. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let me give this example given by David Gibbs. I can't give it first person as he did, but he was traveling out west and they were driving across the desert, and as they were going, they were just exhausted, and he said to his fellow traveler, why don't we find another preacher? Why don't we find a place here where we can just pull off and get some refreshments and take a little break? The driving's wearing it out. I said, oh yeah, we ought to do that. And so he just started praying while he was driving. I presume he kept his eyes open and started praying, Lord, where would you have us to stop? We want a place to stop, and we want to make sure we've stopped at the place where you want us to be. And David Gibbs, the lawyer, thought, this guy is strange again. He prays about everything. Now listen, remember what our verse is, that what are we to not pray about? He prays about everything. He even prays about which rest stop to stop at, or which gas station to stop at. And so the guy went on and on in prayer for a little while, and then finally they came upon a gas station. He pulled off and pulled up to the pump, and he got out and was starting to pump gas in, and Brother Gibbs was headed into the store, and two truckers came out, pulled out right behind them, and come walking across, and they were walking into the little restaurant store there. And the guy pumping gas yelled out to him, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? And they both stopped in their tracks, and they looked over at him, and then they walked over towards him and said, what did you ask us? And he said, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? And the one trucker said this. He said, that is the strangest thing we've ever seen or witnessed. He said, we were just on our CBs talking to each other. And we got talking about that, hey, this could be our last trip ever again. All the fatalities and what would happen to us if we died on this trip out. And never made it back home again. They were thinking again of the cop who said goodbye to his children there and then never went back home again. And they said, we were just talking about that, and we never stop at this stop, the rest stop, but we decided to stop here and go get a cup of coffee and meet together, because they were on their CBs in the truck, and just talk about that question. And so listen, just a coincidence, I suppose. No, I suppose it's not, again. Someone who prays about everything has opportunities again. And again, the least of all things, praying about them, is putting God in control of everything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, even which rest stop you'd stop at, in everything, by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Do you pray about everything? Can you get in a habit of praying about everything? For a long time, again, I would always, before I'd pull out on the road, I'd stop at the end of our driveway, wherever I was, and I'd have a word of prayer. I did that, ran around with Tim so much that Tim would yell at me if I ever didn't again. So he'd say, hey, what are you doing? We didn't pray yet again, and to remind me of that. But listen, prayer ought to not to be foreign to us. And sometimes it is to me. So I get so busy and going on in my own way, my own thing, and never think that we ought to be praying about everything. And again, here's one of the commands that fits right in there with not to worry is to, again, to pray about everything. And if you've prayed about every little thing, when the big things show up, again, they're already prayed over. And so again, understand that, hey, we want to be people that are just in a habit of praying about everything. And then look at the command, as I said a little early last time in verse 7. And so we got three of the commands down. And then it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. You know, that's a kind of peace that you can't put into words. I can't explain what that is. We heard several examples, again, of healed cancer, of taken lives and young lives gone, and several testimonies down there, again, of things that just had the perfect peace of God in every situation. And listen, I can't understand all of them, but I can understand this verse here. Says that you can have that, even though you can't explain it to somebody. But here's the peace of God, which passes all understanding. We can't comprehend it. We can't understand it. Shall keep your hearts and minds. See that there? Keeping your mind. If he's keeping your mind, it's not overcome with worry. And so again, keeping your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. There's a difference between the peace with God and the peace of God. Let me go ahead and emphasize it. You can't have the peace of God until you have peace with God. And you make peace with God by calling on the Lord Jesus Christ and making Him the Savior of your soul and being born again by His promise. When you call on the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing our sins, call on Him again, confessing our need of a Savior, call on Him with our mouth. Again, He does a transaction inside of our soul that causes from then on through all eternity, we have two things. Number one, we have everlasting life. He instills that into us. Number two, we have peace with God. We call that being justified. That God looks at us and there's perfect peace between us and God. And so the peace with God, I'm trusting that everyone here in worship today has the peace with God. And here's the promise that we can have the peace of God. That comes in situations. That comes again in waves. That comes as it's needed again. And that comes again, the peace of God when we're going through trials. We can have the peace of God and not have a worry in the world. When we're in jail, we could say something like, the Bible says, I'm doing fine. And so notice here, the peace of God is what the promise is, that we can have that. We can have it in our lives. We can have that when we don't know why our child hasn't come home yet. We can have that when we're again wondering what happened when we get a call from our children, from our parents. We can have that perfect peace of God that passes all understanding and not be tied to any kind of worry. And remember, worry again is tied with the uncertainty. We're uncertain how this is going to come out. We're uncertain, so we're going to fret. We're going to worry about it. And again, here we can just let it all rest on God's shoulders and we can have a life free from worry. Well, there's one more command. There's four of them given here and they're all circling this here one promise about the peace of God that passes all understanding. And look with me again at this last command. Command number four says this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Boy, it'd be good if we took that verse and printed it out, put it right over top of our screen of our TV, so it blocks a quarter of the screen from us, just so we're always mindful again that, of course, if we did have that verse on our TV would spend a lot more time off, I'm going to assume, again. Whatsoever things. Wow, what a list. But notice what it says. Think on these things. Be incredibly careful about where you put your mind. Be incredibly careful about where you put your mind. So again, as we, I love watching law shows and Law and Order and criminal investigations and CSI things, and they always intrigue me, and I always love to watch them. But boy, anymore, there's precious few that you dare watch because of where they put your mind again. And so let's be incredibly careful about where we put our mind. And again, if we've got our mind in the wrong places, the commands that are given here, again, are going to start crumbling. I put there, this is an engineering term, and so I don't know if it'll work for you, but it works for me. The intensity of your worry is inversely proportional to the intensity of your obedience to these four commands. If you can keep the four commands in line, you'll not have worry. And if you're breaking down on these four commands, you're going to have worry in your life. The peace of God's going to be lacking again in our life. The peace that passes all understanding. So again, that was shared with me out there. And again, I wanted to go ahead and I know, again, we all go through circumstances. We here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church have circumstances backed up one against another, again, that we go through. And let's go ahead again and say, hey, I can live a life with no worry and not have that consuming my time, not having that consuming my energies, not have that consuming my testimony, that we could, again, just trust God in everything and rely on Him. I often said when we look at the state of our country and the direction of our country, we throw up our hands and say, well, God's in charge. But listen, that's different than keeping these four commands and not having a worry, not having a concern. So I wanted to go ahead and emphasize them here as we're heading into election, as we see, again, things in the direction of our country and the audacity of sin rubbed in our face over and over again, that a Christian is still called upon to live without worry, without, again, fretting, as it's called. And to keep these four commands means we can live a life dwelt by the peace of God that passes all understanding, no matter the circumstance, no matter the trial we face. Father, praise You and thank You. Thank You for Your Word. I thank You that it covers so much. And I pray now again that You touch each heart as we consider the four commands before us and the great promise that You've given. I pray again that we could leave this place with a peace that passes all understanding and a checklist of commands that we'll keep this week again, even to exercise a life that's completely free of worry. And we'll give You the praise again for keeping Your Word on it. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen, amen. Let's go ahead and sing an invitation song. And I suppose close to that is my favorite invitation, I surrender all. Notice again, if we're surrendered to Him, then we're not so worried about us. And so let's surrender all. We surrendered our children to Him. Sometimes we're able again to rest on His promises concerning our children. If we've surrendered all to Him, we can have a peace that passes all understanding. 308, let's stand. Just sing the first and last verse in the close of our service. All to Jesus.